This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins, Jen Mint Jenkins to y'all out there on social media, the man, the legend, and we're here, and we're going to talk about the Red Wings today. I know we got the Tigers just out of the playoffs, and we got the Lions with the big game and everything. We'll get all that, but the Red Wings are off to a terrible start, and they called up Marco Casper, which was, you know, a reactionary move because they've been so bad that they, you know, it's time to maybe look at the youth. And, Evan, you know, I don't really like comparing sports, and you know that. But if you look at the Tigers, it was addition by subtraction when they went to their younger players that they've been drafting. And do the Red Wings maybe need to do that? Okay, and Casper was the obvious call. I mean, last year at this time, he wasn't a very good AHL player. By the end of the year, in the postseason, he was a terrific player. And one of the better players that I saw throughout Grand Rapids' run. They won a playoff series and then played Milwaukee and eventually lost. And he did well in the preseason games and camp and all that. He's strong on his skates. He's got a little zip to him, a little life. And it's badly needed by the Red Wings right now, who have a lot of players who got some really nice contracts. And they're floating around. I write in a column about it. They look like pumice floating down the Detroit River. They've been terrible so far. And their puck possession numbers, abysmal. And they're showing no life. And would younger players coming up help that? And I think we saw that sometimes when you have players that are playing like fat cats, sometimes these young, hungry players will help you a lot. And I think there's a bit of that with the Red Wings right now. And Marco Casper should help them. And also, I think they need to look at, hey, you know, are you going to keep Kosa, the goalie at Grand Rapids, all year? He's played two games. He's got a shutout. The save percentage is 94%. And, you know, Cam Talbot yesterday looked like a spaghetti strainer. And Ville Husso was brutal. And I don't know if you can really just trust Alex Lyon. And you took these goalies, young goalies, with the other ones, Trey Augustine, that's at Michigan State, and he's off to a good start, 93% save percentage. They're 3-1, the Spartans. Are you going to just keep them on the minor leagues, or, you know, what are you going to do? And I understand they're kind of stuck with contracts and some roster decisions. But, you know, and people always want to talk about free agents. They got a bunch of free agents. Now, I mean, what are they paying Jeff Petrie $6.2 million for? Ville, talking about Hole and some of these other guys are making some nice chunks of change. Gustafson, who they picked up this year, and they're not playing for squat. I know Petrie's been hurt. It's not unfair. He's, when he played, he did all right, actually, this year, but. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So at some point, they got to decide whether they go younger.
So, Pat, it's funny that you mentioned goalie because, I mean, just like the backup quarterback, just like the next man up in baseball, everything like that, people are going to be polarized because the Red Wings are allowing a lot of goals to be scored right now. Now, my question to you is, I understand that, you know, defense will allow some of those goals, bad transitions, turning the puck over, stuff like that. But are these easy goals that are getting scored on these goaltenders? Are they preventable goals that are being scored? Because what I keep seeing is we've had multiple games now where the goalie's been pulled midway through. That's not a recipe for success, even to me, who's just a novice when looking at hockey games.
Well, Husso earned that. He was brutal. Mm-hmm. They sent him out right away. I mean, it was like, boom, you're gone. And it was like weird. He had a real good preseason game against Pittsburgh where he stopped like 41 shots. And Crosby was playing that day and all this. And they were, you know, I put a lot of pressure on him. He was really good. Then they start him opening night and he comes out like that. Cam Talbert's 37 years old. And he had a real good defense in front of him at L.A. And mm-hmm. here, not so good. But that first game against Nashville, they were outshot almost 2-1, and he made 42 saves and had a shutout. And then they start him against the Rangers last night, and he was just, you know, he got a couple corners picked and things like that. So it's a combination of the two things. They got to make saves that are going to keep them in games, and their goaltending clearly isn't good enough. Lyon's their best option right now. And, you wonder with somebody like Talbert, and he had one great game, so I don't want to dismiss it, but when they hit 37, you know, 38, some guys can play longer than that and play at a high level, but there is a point where athletes hit a wall. And when they drop down just that little bit at that level, then they're not sufficient to play at that level anymore. So I don't know whether Talbert that's the case or not. But the question I have is, you know, it's like, okay, you know, we're going to keep a Sebastian Cosa in the minor leagues forever. That's apparently what they're going to do. They're going to go through this whole year, and evidently they're not going to give him a chance to play in the NHL, which I find to be somewhat odd because he's going to be 22 in November. All right, 22 years old, if you're really an elite player, even a goalie, which takes a lot longer to develop, maybe he should be in the league. Askarov, the goalie that he played and compared with last year and also a first-round pick, is an NHLer now. So, and he played for Milwaukee last year, and they kind of went back and forth, these two goalies, if you're into hockey prospects type of thing, and that's what this is about. So I would assume a lot of our people remember that, the Russian goalie, Askarov. He got traded to Anaheim. So what are, because they have their goalie in Saros in Nashville. So what are you waiting for? All right. So these guys have played terrible hockey. They play terribly. This is bad hockey. This isn't like, oh, you know, it's just a couple tough breaks here and there. So yeah, the goalies have been left out to dry. I mean, their players have been awful.
Now, I'm going to ask kind of a silly question, but are they playing teams that are just clearly better than them right now, or should they be competing in these games that they've lost? Because it doesn't even seem like they're really competing when you look at the box score at the end of the game.
Well, the Rangers are a great team. They might be right. The best team in the league, the Broadway Blue Shirts. I call them the Will Birchfields.
Yeah, he loves the Fighting Birchies.
Yeah, the Fighting Birchies, because that's his team, the Blue Shirts. Oh, yeah, man. So, they're a great team. They really are. You know, Panarin, they got Zibanejad. Yeah. You go down the list. Fox. And their goaltender, Shesterkin, is great. And they played quick the other day against the Red Wings. That's a perfect situation for him. And he's good. But, they, you know, and they played two really good periods against them. The first game in New York. Played two really good. And they were down 2-1. But the third period, they just capitulated to the moment. Rangers just took over. And last night, it wasn't even competitive. That wasn't a competitive hockey game. That was, you know, looked like they were like beer leaguers, you know, playing up in Onyx or, I don't know, you name the local hockey rink, Lindell Arena in Royal Oak, St. Clair Shores Civic Center. You know, you name it. I mean, that's what they looked like. They were terrible. And so it wasn't even competitive.
If the losing continues, is Nuzi Lallone going to be a scapegoat and lose his job?
Obviously, he's going to lose his job, you know, so fast everybody's head will spin. Mm-hmm. I mean, Yzerman's not the fire the coach GM. He really isn't. That isn't what he does, all right? He kept Blashill for a long time because he knew it wasn't the player, the coach. It was the players, right? And he didn't want to send out the message. That's what it seemed to me. And, you know, and he didn't in Tampa, he wasn't overly reactionary with his coaches. But this, you know, Lalonde has had a couple years here. And whatever he's saying, they are not responding to. And in hockey, Evan, you know how it is. They fire coaches the way you change your hats every day.
I know.
They do. You know, I mean, they got, you know, you go to your closet, you got a bunch of sneakers, and you put on a different one. That's what they do. So, and it works in the NHL. When they change coaches, for some reason, it'll jumpstart teams. I mean, the extreme was St. Louis a few years ago. They changed coaches in January, the worst team in the league, and won the cup. They did it in Pittsburgh for one of their cup runs. It's just standard procedure in that league. So at some point, I would think that Steve Yzerman would follow that. And it's not Nuzi Lallone's fault. People are like, oh, this guy's a horrible coach and all that. No, he's not. He's proven that he deserved the job. But they're going to make that decision and move on from him if it does. Even Yzerman will do that, even though it in a way it sends a message. And then we'll hear, oh, man, you know, we let our coach down. Yeah, well, what are you going to do about it now?
Do you believe they have enough talent to win, though, on this team currently?
Because... Oh, absolutely.
Okay. That's the main question because – I keep seeing – now, you can't believe everything that you read on the internet, but that, like, if it came down to the trade deadline, they don't necessarily have the cap to make bigger moves, I guess you could say.
Right, they don't. They're capped out, yeah. And so he's made some mistakes.
Right.
Happen. Yeah, well, he tries to avoid term with veteran players that got Ken Holland in trouble here, mm-hmm. right? And he's got a couple guys that are just, I don't know, man. Andrew Kopp and JT Compher, you know, the Michigan dudes.
Oh.
What are they? I mean, their contracts for what their production is terrible. He made the decision to keep Rasmussen and Valeno. Valeno's been terrible this year. You know, he signed a hole. I mentioned Petrie. It was $6.2 million for Jeff Petrie.
Yeah, maybe like 7 years ago, that would have been good.
Yeah, it would have been just in 2020 when, you know, or whatever, when they got to the finals in Montreal, and he's great. Sherratt. All right. I mean, they're stuck with Ben Sherratt. So they got a lot of defensemen. And I understood what he was doing because he didn't have defense. And these younger guys, like, you know, now Johansson's in the league, and he's done all right in the games he's played here this year. Johansson, but, you know, Edvinson's getting a regular shift and those type of players that he didn't want to rush him, you know. And they got a few guys, Vero and Tomitsu, Wallander at Grand Rapids. But, you know, at what point do you kind of push on it? And when you do those contracts and you get that term, all of a sudden that cap number fills up really quick. And you know, we live in a town where there's not – you've got hockey geeks, okay, understand, you know, like what I'm saying. And then you'll have, like, your basic sports fan who's into sports but not necessarily into hockey. So their flash over to hockey all the time involves these simplistic views. Like, hey, you know, Yzerman didn't go out and get a bunch of free agents. He didn't do this and that. When actually he spent on free agents and picked up some guys, it didn't make sense. And the team right now, the weird part, they're set up for big-time success. But it's a matter of when, and the town's getting a little impatient, justifiably so. It's like, hey, you blew it. A playoff spot was handed to them last year, and they blew it. The year before, they moved into it, and they blew it. And then they start out this year like, oh, this is going to be different. You know, they've added a couple of their younger players. They didn't go out and get some quote-unquote big-name free agent. And they start out like this, and then hockey fans are upset because, hey, man, you know, you're supposed to be better than this based on some things. And then the ones who are sports fans but kind of flashing the hockey go into their simplistic, well, Yzerman's had 8 years or whatever it is, 7 years, or, and he just hasn't gotten it done, and making Ken Holland look smart for saying 10 years and, you know, all these, you know, narratives that we talk about when hockey comes up on our radio station. So, you know, and so there's nothing good about this.
No, I mean, but nothing I do think good it, about it. If
but they're going to be side, they're going to be really good in the future.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I said the bright side is they have 78 more games this year. So, I mean, they can still turn it around. And it does look like, you know, like you mentioned, the bringing up of Marco Kasper, that they're not just going to be like, oh, we can figure this out. They're at least trying to make moves to improve the team on the fly. So I think that's a positive thing. Because I just remember last year hearing so many people complain that certain guys are being left down at Grand Rapids when they could be up here helping the big club. So I think that's a positive.
Yeah, well, they're not doing, you know, the Ken Holland, let's keep Gustav Nyquist and Thomas Tatar down in the minor leagues when they're clearly better than the players you have, you know, type of thing. And they drafted so much better. I mean, Sedin Palacka, Axel Sedin Palacka at, you know, Kalefia in Sweden. They're the defending Swedish champs, and he was a star. He's got basically a point a game this year and has been a highlight reel in 10 games. I mentioned Kosa, and we'll see Grand Rapids' schedule. You know, it's like weird. They play like once a week, like a college team or something at this time of the year. But we'll see. They got a couple games coming up, what he'll do. And also, Kasper, you know, he's one player down there. The other players, you know, they've only played two games. Danielson's looked a little overmatched. He was in a fight. That was kind of interesting. they really haven't gotten going to know the flow at Grand Rapids. So, Brandsburg Nygaard, their first round pick this year, has only played two games at Kalefdia. He had some groin issues in camp and all that. And I think they wanted him to play in Grand Rapids. I think he would have been better served there. But that's basically what's going on. So if you're looking for reinforcements from Grand Rapids right now, not easy to identify who they would be other than Marco Kasper, who they called up. So that's where they're at right now. Their player development system will pay off eventually. All right, it will. I mean, but when they, you know, the disappointment is, and Sider, you know, it looks to me on the eyeball test that he's playing his ass off, that he's doing good, but of course he's like 42 or something. So that tells me he's not doing as well as what the eyeball test is saying. But he's blocking shots. He's their best player right now. But it's Larkin, DeBrinket, you know, Patrick Kane Patrick Kane has a Corsi of 36.6. He's done nothing so far this year. They're high-paid players that they paid. You know, they paid Rasmussen. They paid Valeno. And they play like they've got security instead of with urgency. And that, for a hockey team, that's not a real good thing. What they have to do, Evan, is pull it together here. And they have to have a decent year and make the playoffs would really be part of the stepping stone to what could be a good future. To play this way early in the year is beyond disappointing. And like I said, long term they have some reinforcements. Right now, it's Marco Kasper is that. So that's the bottom line about the Red Wings. Hey, enjoy doing the podcast today. Don't forget to like us, subscribe to us, Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com, wherever you get your podcast. do that. We talk about drafts. We talk about prospects. We talk about the future on all four major sports. And until next time, we'll talk to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.